Hey, a couple of updates for y'all. 1 week from now, the Art History Babes are going to be in LA. So if you are in the LA area, come hang out with us. We'll be at the LA Art Show on January 25th and January 26th. We'll be recording live podcasts at 5 p.m. both of those days. We'll be around making all kinds of content, and we'd love to see you. So please come out, check out the art fair. It should be a good time. Also, only 2 more weeks left in our January giveaway. So if you want to be entered to win our January giveaway goodie package, that includes a copy of The Masterpiece by Fiona Davis, a pair of studio headphones, some candy, some stickers, a Frida Kahlo coloring sheet, all kinds of good stuff. If you want to be entered to win, head over to the Art History Babes YouTube channel. Subscribe, like a video, comment on a video. You can comment on up to 10 videos for 10 extra entries. So make sure to get entered to win. Also, if you haven't already, be sure to check out artandobject.com. It is a fabulous website, a great resource for just art news, knowing what's going on in the art world, art history, all kinds of arts-related content. That's artandobject.com. And as always, thank you so much to our lovely, lovely patrons, and a special shout out to our producer level patrons, Sarah Sawatchka Dalton and Anna Marie Piccioni. If you want to become a patron, head over to patreon.com/arthistorybabes and get bonus episodes for as low as $1 a month. All right, that's all I got for you. Enjoy the show.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the Art History Babes.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
I'm Natalie, and we are the Art History Babes.
And we are recording live from Boston, Massachusetts right now. Very exciting for us West Coast ladies.
Yep.
To be over here and getting kind of a underground sneak peek at really cool things that are hot happening in the Boston art scene. And we have a very special guest, Anirudh Sharma.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Nailed it.
And he has been working on this fascinating project called Air Ink. And this is very new to us. We just learned about it today, and both Natalie and I got crazy excited.
So we are literally passing the mic and just want you to tell us.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah.
Where do I start? Okay, I'll go back to very basic where I come from. I come from India, and I grew up in New Delhi, which is one of the most polluted cities in the world. I never realized till I grew older when we started seeing that. So one of my favorite games was cricket. And until like 2 years ago, when we saw that the Sri Lankan cricket team walked out of the cricket stadium wearing masks because the air quality was so bad. And those were the players that are in their physically most well-trained conditions. And if they cannot take it, what will happen to normal people like us? Mm-hmm. So for me, these are the observations that I've started making lately, very recently. In my whole childhood has been about breaking things and reassembling them. In Hindi, we call it tod for jod. That means like you take things apart and then you reinvent them and then you put them together and then you create new solutions around them. So I come from very hands-on making kind of a background, very non-academic, very hands-on engineering, science, technology focused. And this project right now, my whole life is around this recycling pollution that we are all breathing in and which is all going into our lungs. It started from home, because everyone is facing it. We all complain about it. So it's very interesting when you see, you don't see it, but every time you're in any city, you see thousands of cars, trucks, engines working all the time to get things done for you, right? Like you're driving cars. Whatever you're using is being made in factories. All these means of power and energy are all around us. And the thing is, almost all of them right now, they run on fossil fuels. So either it is coal or either it is diesel or either it is gasoline and all these things that are burning to produce things for us. So it happened for me such like I was studying here in Boston and I was on a trip back home to India and I happened to go to one city with my parents. And then I saw this very interesting mark that was developed in the wall. So there was a diesel generator exhaust that was pointing towards the wall. And the wall had a very interesting triangular black patch because the black color came from the pollution that was coming out of the exhaust. And mm-hmm. I saw that, and then somehow that stuck in my head that this is a diesel generator and it is something that we all use in some way or the other.
Yeah.
You use a car, use engines. We have factories around us. I saw this diesel generator, and on the other side, I saw that, dude, this is like dirty, gross pollution, which is making this wall black. And on the other side, I thought that this is exactly the black color that it is producing. So the dirt that we all complain about. I was also during the same era, I was traveling around Mumbai in the summers. And what happens is you sweat faster in summers. So my shirts would get dirtier faster in places that were more polluted. And why? It's like the pollution has this very interesting pigmenting property to itself. So we thought, why not use that property that we all complain about, that, dude, my shirts are getting dirtier faster. It's fucking up with our health and it's going into our lungs and giving us cancer. But it's also making these walls black. This is also making my shirts dirtier. So how do we repurpose that into creating a form of pigmentation? So dirt became pigmentation for me. And I came back to Boston and I said that I don't plan much. I'm a very hands-on hacker kind of person. So if there's an experiment, I'm like, oh, boom, like, let's try it first and then we'll talk about it. So I went back to my lab and told my professor that what I saw. And she said, you will not find much pollution here. So we thought we would just use a candle. So we developed a small contraption that would suck in candle soot and churn out ink from the other side. So we developed a handheld printer 5 years ago that would print from candle soot. And then as an inventor, I really enjoyed doing that. But people who were way more environmentalist and smarter than me, they said, dude, you could use this to partly solve the pollution problem. And when I was done from MIT, I thought there was an American life ahead of me. I could have gone to SF and taken up a job and so on. And there was this whole thing in my head about this black color that we do. So like, there's not much pollution in Boston and America. There is, but relatively, we have like much higher stuff than we have here. But anyway, so I went back and then we actually started to formalize building a technology that could capture and harvest pollution that is going into our lungs and then creating a recycling process that can be used to convert that pollution into very high quality inks and pigments. So it was very rudimentary early on. And then we got a lot of help from, I'm not a chemist myself, we got a lot of help from the community. Artists loved us. They said that you're making ink. So if it's coming from such a negative source, they love the poetry of it. And they said that we want to create this global art campaigns. Mm-hmm. And go crazy with painting walls of cities that we live in with the pollution that comes from those cities itself. What I find very exciting is that when you see governments, big governments, they're trying to spend trillions of dollars on replacing fossil fuels to like renewable mm-hmm. sources. Yes, that's the way to go eventually. But our thing now receives appreciation and love because let's capture pollution and recycle it while it's there.
Yeah.
We're not promoting pollution. We're saying that if the shit is out there, like, use it.
Yeah, you're working the opposite way. So you're fixing the problem from the opposite direction. So people should be working the other way and trying to prevent pollution, but you're helping to diminish it by working backwards at the same time.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. I think it's a very bottom-up way as well because mm-hmm. you guys are talking to me right now and it's like the whole community gets involved. If you talk about governments, it's all like top-down, like let's replace the fleets of all vehicles in the city or let's do nuclear power. I am not that big a person. I'm a very small guy. And small guys like me love me. Like, so all the artists, they're like, dude, we can do something.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
it feels tangible. It feels like it's something you have control over and that the common person can get involved mm-hmm. with and can maybe make something beautiful.
And that's empowering.
Yeah.
Like, that makes people feel good, like they can contribute and that they're not just part of the problem. Yeah. It's an avenue.
I mean, imagine your cities are becoming gas chambers right now. It's mm-hmm. terrible times and it's going to go worse because our energy needs are increasing so much. Mm-hmm. So it's very terrible to think of a future in which your kids are playing in the playground wearing gas masks.
Yeah.
That's what is going there. So when we create these methods, people think of like they can actually fight pollution by capturing and recycling it.
Mm-hmm. What are some ways that artists and the art community has been using this ink that you've created?
Right. So our stuff that we are doing wouldn't be so relevant if artists didn't. I cannot personally draw a perfect circle, but actually, but the ink that we make confines pollution in a way that artists love it. So very organically, like last 3 years, our stuff has gone to thousands of artists around the world, which have done their artwork with this ink and saying that our artwork is great, but it's made by confining this amount of air pollution, which when the common person, common kid looks at it, like confining air pollution, the kid also becomes aware of the problem that let me walk to my school rather than taking a car or rather than. So they think about it. It makes talking about pollution much more easier because generally the way the world is, we all read about, okay, it's a government problem. Mm-hmm. And so artists are our medium to make what we make much more stronger and real. And the love that we receive from artists and the way they're adopting our form of recycling is putting interest from industries around the world who are saying that we want to be a part of this new recycling industry because it's so cool and it turns into art. So can you recycle my pollution? So there are polluters that are literally spamming us right now with their pollution. So our office in Mumbai, lab, receives FedEx boxes with pollution samples coming from places we have not known before. And they're like, we don't know what to do with it. Can you figure this out? So I find that very, very powerful because it's a zero value waste that has been killing people for last hundreds of years. You know, the London smog.
Mm-hmm.
And now it can become a resource to do something really positive.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were kind of showing us earlier, you've been doing things with screen printing, like using it in printing.
So one more thing about just art, like, yes, art is great. Conventionally, the inks that we use are made by deliberately burning fossil fuels. So when we make inks by recycling air pollution, you're not only confining the pollution in that pen or as that ink, you're also replacing the need of conventionally burning fossil fuels to make conventional inks. I just wanted to add.
No, that's great. That's a great way to break that down for sure.
But yeah, the screen printing.
Screen printing, okay.
Yeah, okay. And so all the other applications. Yeah.
So now when people saw like thousands of artworks being done, people who were into fashion and people who were into fashion, they said that, can we start using this on fabrics? Because conventionally, fashion is one of the most toxic industries in the world, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like the amount, because of the whole industrialization and the whole fast fashion thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like 50 years ago, we used to buy like 3 shirts in a year. Mm-hmm. Now we buy 30, especially in developed economies. So as developed economies, as in America, a lot of people come to us and say that we are consuming so much. Can we start consuming the waste as well as a form of the solution? So it's ironic in the sense that, so after the art got big, a lot of people came to us and said, can we start printing on fabric? And then we went back to our labs and we formulated an ink that can be used on fabric. So then people who are into fashion, they know how to do their own style of storytelling. And then they said that this shirt is made by cleaning this amount of air. So the consumer end person feels good about what they're buying. Because it's not just that if you have money, you go on senseless buying it, but there is a landfill somewhere that you are filling up. So we said that, yes, you can buy, but make that conscious choice if you can pay for it. So that's the kind of fashion we got into. Screen printing is one of the most common mediums of using fabric. And we said that, by the way, we only deal with black color. So you can now screen print the black color. Yeah.
I saw there's a video of the whole air ink and the different applications of it. A lot of people were working with these markers and doing really cool designs. Has that been like the popular use, using it in marker format? Has that been particularly useful?
That's how we started.
Okay.
And street artists are the whistlers for us. And whistlers being one street artist, when they use our ink, that street art tells a story about our recycling to thousands of people who see that street art. And that's how organically people have started coming to us. And that's how the fashion thing happened later. People now are saying that, can we paint our cars? Can we start using this as a car paint? We
don't know how to make it. Everyone wants to paint their cars. That's a natural progression.
Yeah.
Everyone just wants to paint their cars.
Those guys are just on the pulse of art, you know, those car guys.
Yeah, kind of shout out to some of our other content we've been making.
episodes about Singularity Black, and we've heard plenty of stories of how people want to paint their cars in Singularity Black as yeah. well. So
I think 2018 is the year of the new black colors.
Oh yeah.
And there is Singularity Black happening. Yeah. There is black color coming out of.
But it's super interesting what you're saying about street artists being kind of the whistleblowers, because there's something so fascinating about that, because you're working in an inherently industrial medium. Like, street art doesn't exist without streets and cityscapes, right? Mm-hmm. And the pollution is also in these areas. So it's like the negatives from the city are being turned into an artistic expression of the city.
Yeah, and the materials for the city, as we also call it. Imagine like bricks being made out of this stuff. And But art is the best way to go about it. And we were really lucky in that sense that we chose the right medium, because artists themselves are storytellers. So we don't have to do it ourselves. They do it for us. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. You give them the supplies and they tell the story.
Yeah. And when it becomes popular, it sells. So the polluters also see it. So there's very one interesting phenomena that I observed in India very recently, which is very dangerous and exciting at the same time.
Like all good things are. We like the sound.
So we saw that there's this polluter who got in touch with us and who sent us this image saying that there are 50 bags full of pollution that he has just captured in his factory, and he's going to go and find the cheapest means of disposal. He's a small level manufacturer. So the cheapest means of disposal, I asked him, what is it? He says, like the nearby river. So he would take all that pollution in and throw it, dump into the river. That's like converting air pollution into water pollution. And now that he knows that we can upcycle it. And ink is one of the most expensive commodities on this planet, right? Mm-hmm. Like as liquids. So now that he knows that we can recycle it, he chose to contact us and say, can you pay me a small amount rather? And I'll send all the pollution to you, because we know how to create economics around creating this new color. So that's very fascinating, because now till the time pollution is being produced, it should be sent to us and be recycled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like all upsides.
Yeah. It's just a fascinating turn of events, really, when you think about pollution and air pollution, like this idea that it's being co-opted in such a positive way, you know?
Yeah, and we can't claim that it'll solve the entire pollution problem.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a way to inspire the communities that if you look at problems a little differently, mm-hmm. you can actually create very different solutions. And that's what all engineering, invention, art is all about, like reinterpreting.
Yeah, and not to mention, when thinking about the idea of making visual art with this medium, the material itself is contextually loaded. You have this context of environmentalism and pollution. So whatever you're making, the medium you're using already has its own language almost, just because of what it was made out of, which is very fascinating.
So yeah, imagine yourself like wearing a t-shirt right now or wearing a dress right now where there's a swatch, a black colored circle, and that circle quantifies the amount of pollution that the shirt quantifies. Now, it's not a way for me to sell only. It's also a way for me to tell people that this is what your life is producing.
Like, yeah, yeah.
The choices that we make produce all that pollution that is around the world. Mm-hmm. Climate change. Look at the amount of money governments are using. There's very interesting poetry in that.
Definitely. Yeah. And it encourages individuals to think, to look at what they're doing in their everyday life choices and how that affects the greater environment. But it's also not so in a way that's accusatory, I guess, because there's something interesting and poetic and beautiful that's also coming out of it. So it's just a nice way to approach the problem.
Yeah. We also get a lot of negative commentary on social media around, like, are you guys popularizing pollution? And it's very interesting. Are you guys making pollution hip? So the thing is, we are making the recycling of it very cool. And so in the sense, what is the ultimate aim for our company? People ask us. And the idea, eventually, we should not exist, hoping that pollution is not there.
Yeah, yeah.
But till the time is there, until the time polio exists, you should make drugs to make the disease out.
Yeah, definitely.
So That's how I justify it.
You don't even have to justify it. That's wild. Yeah. I don't know. It's almost comforting as people who receive criticism to hear something so positive. I would not be able to think of how to make that negative. And then to hear people be like, you're popularizing pollution and you need to stop.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I think that rounds it out for me, like what human beings can do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a perfect example of like, you can criticize anything. You can find the negativity if you want to find it. It's always there if you look for it.
Oh man. But why put yourself through that?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't put yourself through that. Don't go down that road. This is a good thing.
Yeah, so we deal with poison pollution.
No, I think it's very much coming at a problem that people have been trying to solve for a long time in a new way. It's going to open up a lot of potential for how we look at our excess use of resources. You know, there's a lot of possibility for looking at things from this vantage point.
It reminds me of a story in New Delhi. One of my friends, she's a doctor and really good doctor. I asked her, like, I thought that traffic policemen who are standing on crossroads, and they're completely normal policemen who are non-smokers and have lived a normal life. I wanted to see the lungs of a dead body of a police officer who has spent most of his daytime standing in the middle of the road. So she sent me an image of these pair of lungs from a police officer who died at the age of 55, 57. And it's sad, I know that. But for me, it was so interesting when I saw that those lungs cut out. They're like loaded with pollution. I said, do they look like smoker lungs to you? She said, yes. But was this guy a smoker? She said, no. So we're all breathing that in. It's like bizarre. It's a need right now for larger communities, governments, individuals, and hackers to take action to solve the problems that we're all facing. And reinterpreting it and making recycling cool, making something that not just that like a paint, you should do that, you should do this. No, it's cool because it's a new color.
Yeah. You can express yourself with it in some way.
It's like putting the medicine in your sweets.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. No, I definitely support that approach. I could see how that would be successful. Can you speak to how the success you've had up until this point, how much it's been spreading or how people have been responding to the product?
It's been spreading very fast. Black color is one of the most commonly used colors in the world. I mean, probably you are holding a black pen in your hand right now. Or you have it somewhere. You have used it.
It's
probably
within reach.
Black pants or by popularizing the use of this black color made by recycling, we are able to recycle more pollution. And all these industries like fabric, art, fashion, packaging, they all use this color. So it's spreading very fast because color and art are such basic mediums of human expression.
Yeah.
And it's like the most basic thing, right? Like ink is one of the most basic things, right?
You know, humans were making things with ink before we figured out how to feed ourselves. We were making, you know, paintings on cave walls before we figured out agriculture. Using ink to make things is a very basic human instinct.
Yeah, it's an impulse.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So where can people find out about this? Like, where can people contact you or get their hands on some of this stuff?
On our website. We are not selling it commercially yet.
Okay.
We want to start doing it very soon. And we will do this through the mediums of collaboration. So there are brands that are into fashion who want to use this to do their entire printing. Just watch out for Air Ink, the name. You'll hear it very soon around you, wherever you see black color. So we are out on to kill the conventional black. And currently you can go to our website, gravikey.com, airink.com.
And it's Gravikey?
It's a misspelling of gravity.
Okay. So how do you spell it?
Gravikey.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll link that below. So you all listening can just...
It'll be in our show notes for you.
There's no store right now, but I think a month and a half from now, there'll be a store of a limited edition London pollution-based pens. Then they'll be we'll make art material from pollution of different geographies. So you'll have geotag pens.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That's very interesting. I also wonder if they'll look different, if there'll be ways to visually like tell the difference between like different types of pollution.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Like you could come up with signature colors for different cities.
Yeah.
I think I want to collaborate with you guys. Come up with a design language.
We have so many ideas.
Yes.
Because people love those gimmicky like shade color names for different like, and so like each geographical location could have a different
So, shade. Yeah. Different shade.
It's so interesting how differently we think. As nerds, we were thinking of just putting geolocated GPS coordinates.
Yeah, like no, numbers.
I'm sure nobody would look at that. But yeah, but it's interesting, like how could a London pollution recycled into art material would look different from pollution captured in China, for
yeah,
example.
Yeah.
So it could have those
slightly different pigments or just like looking slightly looking, different yeah. in some way.
Yeah. Even I'm thinking like Los Angeles pollution is almost famous for the sunsets. That pink kind of sunset that you see in Hollywood is almost famous in its own right. And
that's from pollution.
And it's from pollution. And it's it's not the same. That's not like the ink would be pink. But
you could you could name it like LA Sunset.
Yeah.
LA Sunset. The Indian curry.
There it is.
There it is.
There's
stay in touch. We'll collab with you.
Yes, we will give you ideas whenever you want them.
And our listeners, you guys should write in if you have any ideas for like the application. Of this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's so cool. It's super interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this has just been great just kind of getting to hear about it. Is there any other aspect or just information that you want our listeners to know about?
I want to release this information in the common world. Like, if you're listening to this and you somehow use black color in your life, think about Air Ink and write to us and we'll see what we can do about it and we'll get it to you. Yeah.
Awesome.
Just this is awesome. Very exciting. I'm like giddy.
I know. Just plain awesome. Well, thank you so much for
thank you
being on the show, for telling us about your amazing work that you're doing. I'm really excited to see how this develops and what it could turn into. We'll link all of his information down below as well as that video so you guys can check it out a little bit more. But very cool stuff.
Yeah. We're excited to see where you go with all of this. I'm sure by the time this even airs, there's going to have been more developments. This seems very fast moving and exciting.
Thank you. Yeah. Without art and without the community, we will be nothing. So it's very, very empowering. Yeah.
We love it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you everyone for listening and check us out on all the social medias. Email us if you have any thoughts or questions or anything about art or Air Ink, please write into us and we can do our best to answer them or connect you with the right people if you work in different mediums or if you're concerned with environmentalism mm-hmm. and how that can relate to art. Definitely let us know. Find us on all the social medias. If you like what we're doing and you want to help us out, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/arthistorybabes. We love and appreciate all of you that support us. This has just been so awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Well, thank you, ladies. Yeah. Love it.
So great. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history babes.
Sorry, I'm digressing.
No, this
digressing.
Is. Yeah, no, this is perfect.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You're doing
please
good.
Do.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.